Well, we're continuing on with our tithes and offerings today, and we are on J, and the joy of giving. And the scripture the Lord gave me for this is a little bit different than anything I've ever done before on this. It's in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. And it says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life." And the word enjoy in this verse means to experience with joy, to take pleasure in. Now, I want you to think about this. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, Lord, command those who are rich. And you might stop and go, well, I probably wouldn't be considered rich. But what are we believing for in this church? We are believing to be rich, right? So that we can be blessed to be a blessing. So in advance, the Lord is teaching us what we need to do when we become rich. And really, in the world's standards, every one of us in this room is rich. I've seen it. I've been places all over the world. We are rich, okay? We are the only nation that I know of that you can walk into the malls that we have, just the grocery stores that we have. They're massive, massive compared to places all over the world. You could probably fit in this room, I was thinking about it, you could probably fit 3 or 4 stores in Japan, in this room, full-on stores, Safeways. They are not large. So in the world standard, we are rich. Amen. And we are believing for the continued wealth that God has for us in these last days so we can rise up as a church and take our rightful place. Amen. And so we need to know what we need to be doing when we become rich. And it says, do not be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches. See, there's the key again. It always goes back to the heart. Always. Haughty. What does that mean? I did all this. Look at me. I'm so amazing. No. We know where our wealth comes from, right? It comes from the Lord. We want his wealth. No sorrow with his wealth. Amen? And then it says not to trust in uncertain riches. That means you don't trust when those riches come. That is not where your trust is at. Sometimes people will get a large amount of money in their life and we never see them again. Why? Because all of a sudden they started trusting in the riches that they were given. Don't do that. Don't fall for that trap. Plan ahead. Lord, I plan in advance when the riches come to my life, I'm going to be at church more than less. I'm going to be giving more than less. I'm going to be doing more than less. Do you see how we're preparing in advance for what God is going to do in our finances? Because it says don't trust in that, but trust in the living God, I love this, who gives us richly, there's that word again, all, say all. We did a whole series on this, that teeny tiny word, right? But yet it means everything. There is no question. He gives you all things to enjoy. And what does enjoy mean again? To experience with joy. You can give experiencing joy. Now, half the world probably doesn't understand that. I'm guessing half the church doesn't understand that. What, you're happy to give? Yes. Why? Because God is already giving me everything to richly enjoy from him. So I can give with joy because I know if I'm giving with joy, what's going to happen? He's going to give on back. Amen? You see where this is so freeing. You don't have to fear money and you don't have to be afraid to be ruled by it. No, just be a giver that gives joyfully. And then what can you do? Enjoy. 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 Let me say it again. Enjoy what you have. I know so many people that are wealthy that do not enjoy their wealth. How can that be? Well, I can tell you how it can be. They're not givers. They're not givers. They're not givers. Do you see the connection here? When you're a giver and you're, that's what, giving is showing God, I trust you. At whatever level you're at, We've talked about it before. If you can't give your $10 off of 100, then it's going to be really difficult to give your 100,000 off your million. I can just tell you right now, that's going to be a stretch for you. But if we start practicing with the $10, then the 100, then the 1,000, and so on, it's going to be easy for us. Why? Because there's joy in giving. And we know that the other 90, we are going to enjoy. We're going to experience joy with that because we are givers. Isn't God good? He's so good. He doesn't just dump money on us and we have to, oh man, what am I going to do? Am I going to fall away from the Lord? Am I going to do this? No. He's saying today, if you don't be haughty and you don't trust in those riches, but instead trust in Him, you'll enjoy the blessing that He has for you. Amen. Joy in giving. Every time there's an opportunity to give, put a smile on your face and say, "Whoo! Don't forget me. I want to give." Amen. Amen. Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, I just thank you so much again for this series. You make it so simple for us. And I know a lot of these things we already know from serving and being in the church. But God, it's a good reminder and it's a way for us to have knowledge to help other people to understand the ABCs of tithing, just the basics of tithing. And Father, I just pray that this word would sink into our hearts and our minds. And if there are our tradition, if there are religious teaching that we've any of us have had in the past that has come in to worm its way in, to still kill and destroy and to be used by the devil, I just thank you today that is broken in the name of Jesus. We are learning the truth of your word and we are being set free. And that means we can say, "I am rich." And not be afraid, Father. We don't have to fear being rich. We don't have to categorize ourselves with other rich people. We are godly, giving rich people. And that's a whole different thing. And I thank you, Father, for the finances that are coming in to the people in this church. I thank you, angels, go forth and bring it in from the north, south, east, and the west. I thank you for minds to be able to have the ideas and the thoughts and the plans and the purposes of where that is to go. And I thank you, Father, that the enemy is not going to be able to instill the enjoyment that you are giving your people as you bless them. And we thank you, Lord, today. Every seed that is sown is blessed, anointed, and bringing forth a harvest. And God, I specifically pray for the things that people have missed out on, or maybe things that have been forgotten that should have been theirs financially. I speak to you, angels, and you go forth and you get that. And you bring that back to the people that have even forgotten about things that should be theirs. I thank you, Lord, it's being restored 100% plus heavenly interest. And I just thank you for that today. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone shouted, amen. Woo.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this message and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Palm Sunday, Lord. Thank you this week, Lord, as we remember that we remember that we remember, Lord, what you did for us on the cross. What you did for us, the suffering that you endured, Lord God, so that I could get out of hell and that I could be in heaven someday with you and so many, many, many others, Lord God. We put our faith in that finished work, in those three words that you said on the cross that day, "It is finished." And we know that you didn't mean you were finished or we were finished. But the work of our salvation was finished. The devil's plan is finished and over. Hallelujah. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you so much again, Lord, for all that you went through to get us through. And we praise you now. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to continue the theme this year for this, you know, resurrection season is looking at the Lord, the quality of the Lord as being the good shepherd. Somebody say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And everything he did for us was to protect us, to get us out of trouble. Amen. One of the people that I visited this week had this beautiful painting on their wall. that they bought at a coffee shop from a Christian artist. And it was this image of a ship in the middle of a tempest in the ocean. But if you look really close in the picture, you'll see angels intervening. One angel had the anchor up in the sky and it was holding the ship so it didn't capsize, and other angels were in the water doing, you know. It was remarkable. And I told the people, I said, I've been that before. That's been me. And I know God pulled me out of something and rescued me from something bad more than once. Well, this point right here, the cross, all that he endured, was the greatest rescue mission in the history of rescue missions. That's why the church is named Redeemed Church, because that's what he was doing. He was sent on a rescue mission to rescue all of humanity from hell. I mean, there was no greater. And you know what? There was only one man who could do the job. One man qualified that could do the job. That's why he's called the captain of our salvation, when he literally by himself took down the power of hell and the grave and sickness and disease and power, all the curse, took it on himself. The word actually says when he hung on the cross that day, he became sin. He never sinned in his life, but all the history, past, present, and future, all sin was put on him that day. And it says in the word that he actually became unrecognizable. He became so twisted, and it was so horrible what he endured for us that day. But only he could do it. Somebody say, only he could do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So from the manger and all the prophecies from thousands of years beforehand, all through the cross, and now here we are just about 2,000 years later, right? And the power of what he did is still present and available. But there is another scripture that says, seek you the Lord while he may be found. So people shouldn't delay, right? Well, I'll get to that Jesus thing later. Well, those church people bother me. Well, I still got some good weed. Somebody say, do it now. Come to Jesus now like your life depends on it. And maybe someone else's, because someone's probably following you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I love when we're ministering these words, because you're hearing these things, and I know everybody in this room was born again, loves Jesus, but your prayers, your intercessors, but there's also heavenly beings in this room. Angels of God listening. And they hear the words of God that are preached, and they go out and do stuff for God, right? And arrange things in people's lives that you're praying for, that can literally turn a nation around. That painting I told you about is a good example of the United States of America right now, in a tempest, spiritually, threatening to destroy it all. But God, somebody say, but God, and the prayers of his people, and the covenant and the promises that he made to the forefathers of this nation, just like Israel. How many know the devil would love nothing more than to take Israel and just erase it? And he's tried. And why does he hate Israel so much? Because he knows the promises of God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he knows that the Messiah is coming back to Israel. And so if I can just wipe Israel off the map, then he won't have anywhere to come. He's just a psycho. Right? And as this nation has a similar covenant with God that he made to Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and so many others. Hallelujah. And we're standing for it. Hallelujah. We're not going to allow the devil to capsize this nation and destroy it and act like, oh, it was just God's will. No, no, no. God's will is to rescue. Somebody say rescue. Anybody who is, you know, working for the Coast Guard, praise God for the Coast Guard. We did a little tour a few years ago of their facility in Astoria, and Kevin Costner made a movie over there, and they showed us the helicopter that he used, and it was like, those helicopters can endure landing on the water and rolling in the water, if I recall correctly. The ships can too. Now, granted, you don't want to do it too much, but those things are made to rescue people in the middle of a mess, man. I mean, they don't go out there when it's all peaceful. And no, they go out there and also to protect our land. And the angels of God, that's what they're here to do. The angels of God are not here to cast lightning bolts at God's family. They're here to shut the work of the devil down and protect God. See, they work for the good shepherd, right? They work for the good shepherd. Hallelujah. And so we say these words expecting the angels to act on them and go. And just, we're expecting a great awakening. We're already seeing it in this nation. For God to build a church here in this region with us. Amen. For God to touch the lives of men and women, and for goodness sakes, the children, giving them a hope and a future. Shutting down the lies of the homosexual agenda and the transgender agenda and the critical race theory agenda and the you're worthless agenda. No. No, 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 no. Somebody say, I'm with the shepherd. There was a bumper sticker a few years ago that said, I'm with her. Talking about Hillary Clinton, right? And we pray for them to be saved. Maybe they are. But how many know it's better to say, I'm with him. I'm with him. And you're welcome to join me, but I'm sure not going to join you. If you just decide, I'm not talking in this room, but if you just so hell-bent on going to hell, well, that's your prerogative. But I'm not going with you. Someone already went there for me. The Good Shepherd spent 3 days in the pit of hell, so I don't have to go. Now, if someone else wants to go there, that's on them. But I'm not going. And I'm going to do my best to pull a few more people with me out and give them a way out. How many know the church is a way out, man? It's like Noah's Ark. Let's get in the ark because it's starting to rain. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Just think of that. The Noah's flood story. There were animals. Now, there's a lot of people outside those doors right now that love their dog more than a baby. Does not compute. Does not compute. But back in the day of Noah, there were tigers and bears and dogs and cats and rhinoceroses that were saved. And people that drown because the people rejected the righteousness of God. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the day before the Son of Man returns. Somebody say, the shepherd's coming back. Somebody say, I'm with him. I need to get moving here. Psalm 23. Somebody say, we are moving. It's the Holy Ghost, man. I mean, when I visited that hospital the other day, I had in my mind how it was going to be, and it was not like that. It was straight Holy Ghost when I got there, right? It was like, pull up a chair, we're going to be here a while. Hallelujah. And the Lord just touched and ministered, and hallelujah. So somebody say, when I come to church, pull up a chair. We're going to be here for a little bit. Right? Amen? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear evil. Somebody say, I will fear no evil. I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Gary Cassie was talking this week on the Victory Network about the shepherd's staff and how the shepherd would use the staff, he's got the hook to pull the sheep out of trouble, but he also would use it to kind of push him. Like, hey, you're going toward a cliff. Back, back. And he said, if you're a disciple of Jesus, be looking for his correction. Because he corrects us. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your correction. Right? His correction is in our best. His correction is for my protection. So I don't lose my direction. And it's for my perfection. And then I can say, I will fear no evil, right? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say, I'm with the shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen. Now turn to John chapter 10. And we'll read about the good shepherd. How many of us, it's nice to see things more than one place in the Bible? You don't just find one thing in the Bible and build your whole life on that one. You need to find multiple places in the Bible that it says that. And meditate on it. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 11. Well, we'll start with verse 7 again. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. How many of you know there's a lot of thieves and robbers in the world? Spiritual thieves and robbers. Liars. Pretenders. Fake. False hope. Right? False religion, false prophets. And Jesus said, don't listen to thieves and robbers. Right? But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, somebody say, by me. He didn't say by me or anyone else. That's another lie that the devil is telling people by the thousands and millions. There's all kinds of ways that lead to God. Oh, no, there's not. There's one way. Somebody say one way. One man hung on the cross for me. Not a thousand people. One man. Somebody say one man is the way. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So therefore, if folks try to find some other way, they're not saved. Oh, saved from what? Come on, you fear-mongering, hater, insurrectionist, white supremacist, whatever they call, white Christian nationalists, Christian rage, you hater. Hate what is evil, cling to that which is good. Not hate who is practicing evil, hate what is evil. So yes, we do have Christian hatred is a Christian value. Hatred is a Bible value, not hatred toward people. Hatred toward philosophies that point people to death instead of to life. We hate that. How many know God hates sin? He doesn't hate people, but he hates sin because sin is killing people and sending them to hell. Hates it. Amen. Glory. I hate church. Let me tell you, I hate the things the world is pushing on children. Hate it. I hate that they're murdering them. I hate that there's you know, some states in our union, so-called union, in the name of Jesus, we call it a reunion with Jesus, right? There's some states in our union that say you can abort, you can kill the baby up to 30 days after birth. That's murder, man. It's all murder. Right? These things ought not be so. This is what brings the curse on a nation. I'm not saying God is cursing the nation. I'm saying it's opening the door to the thief, the robber, the murderer himself. All the shootings that we hear about and all this kind of crazy stuff is because a door has been opened, and I can't think of a better example than 65-something million since Roe v. Wade opens the door. It's human sacrifice. Human sacrifice to the devil. That's exactly what it is. And it opens the door to death in a nation. That's why, somebody say, that's why we fight. And I'm not fighting against people, we're fighting against the devil, and we're fighting for the children. Hallelujah. Amen. We're on the, somebody say, I'm with the shepherd. I'm with the shepherd, right? Amen. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life. See, Jesus is pro-life. Now, God is pro-choice. Ooh, what did he say? God's pro-choice. He is. He said, choose you this day. You have the choice. I'll tell you more about that in a second. You have the choice, up or down. God's not going to make a choice for anybody else. You have the choice. You can decide where you want to spend eternity, smoking or non. Amen. I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep, which are not known of this fold, that is not talking about the Mormon faith, which some Mormons will say, they're talking about us. No. No, they're not. It's talking about Gentiles. It's talking about people yet unborn, like us. It's not to throw rocks at Mormons, right? There can be Christians that are in the Mormon house, you know, if Jesus is Lord of their life, and they're just in a sect or a cult like that, there's people that can still be saved in the Mormon faith. There's people that can still be saved as a Jehovah's Witness or whatever, if Catholic or what, you know, if they have come to Jesus and now they're just simply in a man-made kind of controlling environment, doesn't mean they ain't saved, some of them. It's like saying everybody who ever comes to church is saved. Oh, really? Amen. Somebody say, stick with the shepherd. Stick with Jesus and what the Bible says about Jesus, not another book that they say is equal to and corrects errors that are in the Bible. Ugh. Thief and robber. Right? Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice. There will be one flock, somebody say, one flock, and one shepherd, one family. Hallelujah. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. This is a big point the Lord wanted to make today to remind us of. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. He gave it up. He laid it down. But I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down. And he says, I have power to take it. Somebody say, take it. To take it again. Wow. Somebody say, he's him. He's him. Somebody say, I'm with him. And look at your neighbor, say, I'm with you too. If you're born again, I'm with you too. We're in this thing together, man, right? We're on an upward trajectory in Jesus. This command I have received from my Father. Hallelujah. Now, praise the Lord. Nobody took Jesus' life, he gave it. And Jesus, now, Exodus chapter 12 reminds us that Jesus is not our Easter. Jesus did not raise again on Easter morning. No, 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 that was Passover. It was, somebody say, it was Passover. On the calendar this year, Passover is late April. Now, we'll celebrate it, we'll honor it, of course. But Jesus is my Passover. Jesus is not my Easter. There weren't chocolate eggs in the tomb when he came. It's okay to have fun with those spring things that we do, but we need to remember it's him. Somebody say, this is about Jesus, right? And Exodus chapter 12 talks about Passover. Verse 13 reminds us that when they put the blood over the doorposts, that the death angel could not go in that house because of the blood of Jesus over the doorposts. Somebody say, put the blood on. Apply the blood of Jesus. In John the Baptist, in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Somebody say, he's him. Nobody else could do that. Nobody. Except Jesus. And Romans 6:23 says this, for the wage, why did he do it? Why did he do it? Why? Well, here we go. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That means the paycheck, the reward. Right? The wages of sin is death, but, oh, thank God for the but, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now see, you have to come to Jesus to get what belongs to him. You have to belong to him. Now that's a Holy Ghost statement right there. To get what belongs to him, I have to belong to him. And you see here again, God being pro-choice. Sin leads to death, and Jesus leads to life, right? So there you go. We have a choice. We can either have the wages of sin or eternal life. Right? We can either have death or life. Somebody say, the choice is yours. God's not going to make, he is pro every human being making that choice for themselves. This is one reason, church, why I believe the rapture could happen any moment. Because we have a God of great mercy and great patience, but what they're doing to children right now, I believe he's on the throne, and I believe his hands are beginning to grip the ends of that throne, and I believe he is thinking about rising up and saying, go get him. Go get my family. Because children go. Children will go. This is serious business with God. Human beings, grown-ups, people, you know, teenagers, and so we need to make the decision between what do I want? Do I want eternal life or do I want eternal death? Do I want the wages of sin or do I want the gift? Now that's a big thing there too. Wages of sin or the gift of God? The reward for my sins or the rewards for his righteousness? Now, that's the choice that every human being must make, no matter the nationality, no matter male or female. Somebody say, I choose life. And that means you choose Jesus. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, I'm with him. I'm with the good shepherd. And we talked last week about seven places where Jesus shed his blood for our complete redemption. But I wanted to reinforce that before we go there, because what difference does it make if I'm healed if I'm going to hell? Priority one, somebody say priority one, was get him saved. And that required his death, because the wages of sin is death. Amen. And that's what we remember all the time, but especially this week with the cross and the, you know, everything that he endured was for your, to save, literally to save your life. And not just this life. Jesus said you should, he told people, you should be more concerned about avoiding the second death. Physical death can be rough. Spiritual death is forever. Forever. Amen. Somebody say, I'm with him. I'm going to live forever in a place called heaven with God and his family, because I chose Jesus Christ. And then we get up tomorrow and we choose him again. And we get up the next day and we choose him again. Because the devil is going to keep peddling his counterfeits and even deceiving Christians. He is an angel of light. You should look up an old Petra song, Petra, E-T-R-A, angel of light. They wrote a song about how stupid the devil is and how stupid it is to follow him. Amen, right? But we went through last week the first four places. Remember, he sweat great drops of blood. This is in the, you can listen to last week's message, and it's all in your notes here. He sweat great drops of blood. They spat in his face and smacked him in his face and bruises. He bled on the inside. With Pilate, they scourged him, they whipped him. By his stripes, you were made whole. Your healing is there. Amen. Soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and jammed it into his skull, and he bled from his head. Right? He redeemed us from the entire curse. And again, you can listen to last week's message so we go into more of that. But Leviticus chapter 4, I was listening to the Torah portion yesterday with Rabbi Joseph Shulam, and it was the first four chapters of Leviticus. And in chapter 4, it talks about the priests, and they would bring a bull for a sin offering, which was a type of Christ, right? And the blood was shed from the bull. See, God was so good, he wasn't requiring human sacrifice like the devil does back then. He said, bring me an animal, and the wages of sin, the death of that animal will cover your sins for, you know, in the blood. But it said in there that the priest would take it and sprinkle the blood seven times. Completion. And Jesus shed his blood in seven places, from the pores of his skin when he sweat it, right? The bruises when they smacked him in his face, right? From his back when they scourged him. The crown of thorns when they jammed it into four. That's four places, right? And then the last three I want to talk about right now. John chapter 19 declares this. Verse 18. They crucified him. And two others with him. This is John 19, verse 18. They crucified him and two others with him, one on either side. And go back and read the whole chapter of these things. These are powerful things to remember. So he bled from his hands and his feet. And again, the crucifixion didn't kill him. Can you imagine that? No, he gave up the ghost. At sundown, they had to go through and break the it says here that they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Somebody say, keep Jesus in the center. I'm not talking politically. I'm talking about keep him as the center of your life, right? But they had to, because it was Passover, They couldn't have these guys hanging a lot, and it was a process of suffocation, is what it was, because their hands and feet were nailed to the cross, and they had to hold themselves up, which was excruciatingly painful, so they could breathe, and then they would collapse again, and they couldn't breathe, and they'd have to hold themselves, and they literally slowly would suffocate, right? And so before sundown, because it was Passover, they came and they broke the legs. I mean, what an awful way to die, right? Just a disgraceful way to die. The thieves that were with him had their legs broken, but Jesus, it says, was already dead because he gave up the ghost. But still, he hung there for like 6 hours or something. I mean, just amazing what he endured to pay the price of our freedom, right? But he bled from his hands and his feet. Deuteronomy 15:10 says this, "The Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand." So, whatever you put your hand to, because of the blood that Jesus shed for you, God will make you successful. If it's something he's put in front of you to do, the failure mindset, it has to go because you've been redeemed from it. Somebody say, whatever I put my hands to will prosper. Amen. And then when he bled from his feet, Joshua 1:3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you." We're talking about authority. That's why you can walk across your kid's school campus or the church or your business and say, or you're meeting with your family, and you can say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I claim this place for Jesus. I claim the protection of God over my kids." Somebody say, the blood is that powerful. The blood is that powerful. Hallelujah, right? And then finally, as we close today, John chapter 19, 34, after he died, one of the soldiers, it says, verse 34, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And that was indicating that his heart literally burst in his chest, right? And it said in Isaiah 61, verse 1, part of that verse says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Hallelujah. What a complete Savior that we have. Any brokenness in our lives, any areas where we've been hurt, abused, brokenhearted, broken fellow. You know, the worst part of Jesus' suffering was not here. It was the 3 days that he spent in hell, separated from the fellowship with his Father. Right? And next week we'll talk about the resurrection, obviously. But what he did for us, 7 places, completely free. Somebody say, "I am completely free in Christ." Now, if all he did was get me into heaven, that would have been more than enough, right? But no, he wants you to be successful. He wants you to walk in health. He wants you to walk liberated from brokenness in your life and those inner issues and be free in Christ. And be taking that everywhere we go. Somebody say amen. Well, let's all stand up on our feet. Hallelujah. And we'll close it up today and just thank God for his words. Just lift your hands and thank him that what he did for you. Just say, "Lord, I thank you for all that you did for me. And I receive it. I receive the completion." When you said it is finished, it is complete. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you and we thank you. And we worship you, and we acknowledge, Lord, what you did. Be much like if we met a veteran that fought in World War II, and was there in some of the worst moments fighting for this nation and the freedom of innocent people. This is even better, way better even than that. And he's here right now. And so, Lord Jesus, we just say thank you. Thank you for what you did. We accept it. We acknowledge it. We receive it. We bow our lives to it in allegiance to you. And we'll be all about spreading that good news to a world that's gone astray. And to a church, other Christians that are just wandering aimlessly out there. Like the ship in that painting that I saw, we call them back into the fold, back into the sheepfold, that they would be able to think clearly and remember who Jesus is and lay aside the lies and the offenses and the hurts and come running back to the healer and come running back to the church and be in their place. And we'll give you all the praise in advance, Father God. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.